Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Mimiverse Monthly Audiocast. I am your host, writer-director Christopher R. Mim, and I have to ask, are you there? Are you listening? Are you mentally prepared to deal with this month's excitement? I sure hope so, because there's a lot of it coming at you real quick here. Things are moving at a rapid pace. The next Mimiverse movie is only 2 months away, although technically it comes at the end of April, so 3 months. But February's short. It's a shorter month. Even with the extra day we get, it's still only 29 days. So April 29th, the world premiere of the next Mimiverse movie, The Phantom Like Kids in The Beast Walks Among Us. I'm going to just start by saying that I have seen it several times, front to back, and I dig it a lot. I recently signed off on the final cut, and it's ready to go. Having seen it several times, I really like it. It's fun. It's funny. Kids do a great job. It's paced very well. And if you're a fan of my movies, you should like it. You don't necessarily have to have seen every single movie to enjoy it. But I will say, this is really the first time that I have made a movie more with you in mind. And by you, I mean the superfans. And I'm just going to assume that you are, in fact, a super fan. And so this movie is definitely made with you in mind first. All the other ones I always try to make standalone on their own. And this one still does. But the story will only truly be 100% enjoyable if you are at least more than passingly familiar with the Mimiverse. You don't have to have seen all the movies to enjoy this one. Really, the two you need to focus on to truly enjoy it would be Danny Johnson Saves the World and The Giant Spider. There's a lot of references to those two. Obviously, Danny Johnson Saves the World, that makes sense because all the characters in this pretty much come from Danny Johnson Saves the World. And then The Giant Spider plays into it a lot because I play the mayor of the town who is the same character I was in The Giant Spider, which was the drive-in owner. So if you're just going to watch two in preparation for this one, watch those two. If you can, watch them all. And make sure you watch them on Amazon so I can get my 1 cent an hour. Maybe even two. I think if you get a lot of people watching it, your money goes up, and I may get as much as 3 cents an hour. Now, I know in the last episode I said I was going to remain positive this year, and I am. You can be positive, but you don't need to deny reality, right? The reality is, I'm a little nervous, I'll be honest. The new payout structure went into effect on January 1st. So I know what I've been getting on average every month last year, but they cut the minimum from 4 cents down to a single cent starting January 1st. I won't actually know what those numbers mean for what I make on streaming until the 15th, roughly, of February. So I'm crossing my fingers that the films will remain popular enough that I won't take a huge hit, but I'm also bracing for the distinct reality that the little bit I was getting will be even smaller and less sustainable. So yes, I am remaining positive, and I will keep on doing what I can to remain positive, because there has been so much freaking negativity in the world, and every single day it seems like there's more. We seem surrounded by negativity everywhere we go. Everything you listen to, every news bit, people are angry and they're getting pissed at each other for whatever. In the end, it doesn't matter because I'm going to stay positive. Positive. And in that same vein, I am positive you're going to like this new collectible we've just released. You like that segue? I thought that was pretty good. We have a new set of trading cards. The Art of the Mimiverse Trading Cards. As you should know, there used to be a set of trading cards that was the Monsters of the Mimiverse Trading Cards, and there was 24 cards plus a cover card, and there was actually a variant cover card. I bet you didn't know that. The original set that came out, cover card said Series Number 1. When I re-released them a year later, I made a new one, a new cover card that didn't say Series Number 1, and the list on the back had some of the rare cards added to it. There were 7 rare cards released, doled out at various events and only at those events. making the first Monsters of the Mimiverse trading card set. If you were to have a full set of every card ever released, you would have 24 cards plus 7 rare cards and an alternate variant cover. So that's 24, 25, 26 plus 7, 33 cards altogether. Did you get a whole set? I know I have a whole set, but I know the guy who makes them, so that gives me an advantage. This new set has 24 cards, which includes the cover card, so 23 plus the cover card. And this is the Art of the Mimiverse. These cards have a lot of poster art. I'm very proud of the poster art for a lot of the movies. And there's some variant poster art, the Monster Phantom Lake art, the original one, and then I released a new one. And there's actually a variant on Terror from Beneath the Earth. So the set consists of different pieces of art, either poster art, the Uncle John's Burger Dog poster art's in there, and some of the art that I created for the movies for the sets. If you've seen the late night double feature, the X the Fiend from Beyond Space, there's a little piece of art that I put up in the medical bay that referenced the evil plant.
From Attack of the Moon Zombies.
That's in there. One of the best ones is the Basement Jesus art. Basement Jesus, as you know, is the painting of Jesus that has just started showing up in all my new movies. It's an Easter egg for folks like yourself who really like the movies that see that and they're like, ah, there it is again, whereas newbies might be confused. And that's okay, because that means you're part of the club and they're new to it. Anyway, so those cards are now available and we will be doing rare cards again. And I'm telling you right now, the first card will be available at the April 29th world premiere of The Phantom Lake Kids in The Beast Walks Among Us at the Heights Theater in Columbia Heights, Minnesota. I officially finished the rare cards of the Monsters one in the mystery box. If you got one, you know this. The final card of the Monsters of the Mimiverse trading cards was me. And I used the really great photograph taken by Christy Jean Williams, who you should know as Mrs. Davis from Queen of Snakes. Christy Williams is a very talented photographer. She has a company called Grinky Photography. She specializes in pinup kind of stuff. She's a good friend, and she agreed to take this image of me surrounded by my monsters. And it's my new promo image, which I do offer 8x10s. If you want to get one signed, you can get one on SaintEuphoria.com. If you want some of these cards, go to Saint Euphoria, order them, get them. Now's your chance. That way, when you come to the premiere on April 29th at the Heights Theater, for The Phantom Lake Kids in The Beast Walks Among Us, you can pick up one of the rare ones. Don't miss out. You can order the new Art of the Mimiverse cards at SaintEuphoria.com in the collectibles section of the merchandise page. Anyway, how's it going? How's life? What's new? How are you? I'm doing okay. I'm very excited to release this new movie. I really, really, really like it. And I'm not just giving you the sales line, which, honestly, that's my job, to sell you on the idea of how great my movies are, but I just really like this one. I don't think I've been this relaxed about a premiere in years. Usually I get very nervous that, oh no, what if people don't like it? And maybe some of my lack of nervousness has more to do with the fact that I'm just not caring anymore what people think. I mean, I care what people think. That sounds bad, but I'm not going to be worried about whether or not one individual is going to like or not like my work. Someone out there is going to like it if I like it as much as I do. And that's all that matters. And if you are a big fan of my movies and you see it and you're like, yeah, it's not for me, that's okay too. Because if you like all my other movies, clearly at least one of them was for you. And that's cool. So I'm excited, really. But I digress. Yes, I'm very weirdly relaxed about this premiere. Because I know the movie's solid, and I know that the hardcore fans are going to love it, and I think a lot of the casual fans or new people who have never seen any of my films will enjoy it, because it is funny and entertaining and goofy and silly, and again, the kids do such a great job. Everyone in it does a great job. It's just a really, really cool movie, and I couldn't have chosen a better one for number 15. Again, it's that weird sort of round number. 15 is it's kind of a milestone, at least in making 15 movies in 15 years, I think. And so this was a good one, which leads me into the one that we almost made for number 15, That Which Lurks in the Dark. That Which Lurks in the Dark is number 16. It was originally written to be number 15, but due to mostly scheduling conflicts, I had to make something else.
And that something else turned out to be the Phantom-like kids. I think perhaps it was just the universe's way of saying, this is what you should be doing right now.
And that we'd come back to that which lurks in the dark, which we have. I'm proud to announce that principal photography of the film has finally begun. And should everything work out, we'll be filming probably into May, maybe June, depending on what happens. I mean, you never know. But even then, I'm very relaxed about the pace at which we're going to be shooting this one. Normally, I get a little crazy because I want to get everything done and I'm always feeling like I'm under the gun. But That Which Lurks in the Dark, I don't plan on actually releasing until 2021, probably in April of next year. So I have time to get it all together and done. So I'm not in any kind of rush to get it all in the can because I haven't even released the new one and I'm already shooting one. So that's pretty cool. And on top of that, I announced last month that I'm also going to be doing the Mimiverse holiday special, which I'm in the writing stages, and as soon as I get that done, we're going to start shooting that. And my plan is to get that out this year, just in time for the holidays. So there's a lot happening. I'm busy. Being busy feels very good. I don't like being bored. Obviously, I don't like sitting around doing nothing. I keep releasing movies. And there's another project in the beginning stages, and probably even a little farther along than the beginning stages. And this project is what I'm calling Phantom Lake PD. In the Phantom Lake Kids, Deputy Hayes, played by Michael Kaiser, has been promoted to sheriff. It's a big part of the plot, but it's not giving away any real spoilers. It's basically in the very beginning of the movie you find this out. He's the sheriff now, and his new deputy is a guy named Deputy O'Donnell. And Deputy O'Donnell is a bumbling Barney Fife type to a certain extent. And he's played by Tom Gladhill, which you don't really know Tom very well, but he is a good friend of mine. And he appeared as a mutant in Guns of the Apocalypse. And this is the first time he's got a bigger role. He'll also be playing a larger role in That Which Lurks in the Dark. So you'll get to know Tom. He's a good actor. He's got good instincts. He's new to acting, but he has very good instincts. He plays the character well, and he and Michael work off of each other really, really well. And I love the characters so much that I started thinking about how fun it would be to make a TV series based on them and Phantom Lake County. And that's the thing about the Phantom Lake Kids. In addition to it being more or less a sequel to Danny Johnson Saves the World, not so much of a sequel that anyone who hasn't seen that will be lost, but still, it's the same characters. You get the idea. It almost works like a pilot for these two cop characters. And I realized there was a lot of gold there, and it was time to start panning for it. Because Phantom Lake County, where all this stuff has happened, has now, after 15 movies and a 16th in the works, there's a lot to mine there. And I realized that so much weirdness happens in this county. You could do, in essence, what I'm thinking of as a half-hour-long serialized TV show that follows these two cops as they deal with the craziness of living in this nexus of strange. The elevator pitch is, imagine Andy Griffith meets the X-Files. I like the idea so much that I got an idea for a pilot episode, and I wrote it, and I really like it. And then I had an idea for a second episode. And then I had an idea for an entire 8-episode season arc. And suddenly I have something. I talked to Michael. I talked to Tom. And they're both on board. I talked to some other folks who are helping out with some of the ideas and some of the scripts, including Steve Sullivan, who wrote the Canoe Cops versus the Mummy. And if you're confused what that is, the Canoe Cops versus the Mummy was a book written by Steve Sullivan, who... Well, look him up. He's got a pretty cool history. When you see the other stuff he's written, you'll be like, holy crap. He wrote this book about the Canoe Cops called The Canoe Cops versus the Mummy. It's available on Amazon. And if you go there and you order a copy of it, he gets paid. So you should definitely go there and make sure he gets paid. So he's helping out. I mean, so this thing started to come together. It's not beyond the planning / scripting stage, but ideally, I would love to have everything ready so that we could start shooting it maybe this summer and release it as a weekly half-hour TV show. Kind of like The Mandalorian, or the new Star Trek Picard series, which, as an old-school Trek fan, I highly recommend. But only because it's so great to see Captain Picard again. Because I'm a nerd, and I love it. Anyway, so working on this Phantom Lake PD thing, and I'm hoping if we can get it together, and I know that we can, I believe in us, I want to release it on a Mimiverse-centric TV channel. Which leads me into the next piece of fun news. There is now a Mimiverse Roku channel, and it's working, and it's available. And I need your help. I've talked about setting up a Mimiverse Roku channel to maybe hopefully bring in a little extra money to help keep the Mimiverse alive. I mean, we have all these great ideas, and I can only ask you to contribute to so much stuff before it starts getting a little ridiculous. And there's got to be other sources of revenue out there, right? Well, there is. There's Amazon Prime. There's DVD and Blu-ray sales. There's also other streaming options out there. And one of them is a Mimiverse Roku channel. It is now available. If you have a Roku box, search for channels. And you can find my channel, which is called Drive-In Monsters, the films of Christopher R. Mim. And right now, it is completely free. About half the movies are available on there right now. In fact, more than half, now that I think about it. There are no ads quite yet. My plan is I would like to do an ad-supported network of all my films and some of the supplemental material. I'm trying to stay away from creating a paid streaming service because there are already so many of them. And my stuff is so niche, I think it'd be great if I could just have it out there for people to see. So new people can find it, hence why it's called Drive-In Monsters and not The Mimiverse Channel, because I don't think calling it The Mimiverse Channel tells anybody anything unless you absolutely know what my movies already are, right? So I figured Drive-In Monsters, that should pull people in that don't know my movies. I originally approached Drive-In Monsters, the Mimiverse Roku channel, with the express intent that everything would be ad-supported. Some of that was decided because I asked people, I did a little poll, hey, would you rather have it be a subscription service or would you rather have it be ad-supported? Everyone pretty much said ad-supported because there's so many streaming services out there already. Why would you want to pay for another one? Especially one that only has 15 movies on it and some blooper reels. And I get that. There's just so much out there already. And if I can make a few bucks selling ads, I don't think you're going to mind having to watch one or two ads during a movie. Plus, I figure it'll help get some new eyes on the movies, right? Because they'll take a chance on a movie, especially if they don't have to pay for it. So why not? Here's the thing. None of this is ever going to be easy. That's just life, and I've learned that the hard way, because nothing is easy. I set up the channel, which was surprisingly difficult. Even for someone like myself, who has been a computer programmer since the year 2000. And honestly, longer than that, because I was a big geek as a kid, and I learned to program my old Apple II when I was 8. If there's one thing I can brag about is that I can program stuff, and I can pick up programming languages very easily. So it was ridiculously difficult to set up the back-end part of the Roku channel. But once I figured it out, it started coming much easier. But it took a while to get to that point. One of the kind of cool side benefits of setting up this Roku channel is that Roku is just basically an aggregation service. It doesn't really have its own servers where I can put my movies onto it. Instead, it streams them from a different service, Vimeo.com. And Vimeo is kind of cool because on Vimeo, I can post all my movies available for download or pay-per-view. So Vimeo now has all my movies there, or at least up through the Late Night Double feature. And it'll have the rest, but that's where I'm at right now. On Vimeo, you can go there and you can buy them to download, or you can rent them and watch them. So that adds another avenue of having my movies free of physical media, which if you still get a chance, buy physical media. It's still better for me and it's better for you because I can't always guarantee that the way things are going with physical media in this world, I can't guarantee that all my movies will always be available forever. And some of the titles are not available on physical media. And some of them, like Destination Outer Space, are only available on physical media or now. It's available on Vimeo, and the Roku channel. Everything on Vimeo is also on the Roku channel because Vimeo feeds the Roku channel, if that makes sense. But it took a while to figure out exactly how the heck all of this worked and to get the things to talk to each other. But I got it down now. So every week I can add another movie. There are some limitations to how much I can actually upload to Vimeo. And so I really can only do about a movie a week, which is fine. There really aren't that many weeks left before I get them all up there. And each one has the blooper reels. So some of the supplemental material that you used to only get on the physical media are now available on the Roku. And again, like I'm telling you, right now it's entirely free. And when I say free, I mean commercial free. When you watch, there are little glitches, or at least they'll look like glitches. That's where the ads will be. Because here's what happens. Roku recently also changed their rules to save themselves more money. Used to be, when you created a Roku channel, you could sign up to have ads serviced by them. They had their own ad market thing that, you know, they would just punch the ads in and pay you as people watched. Well, that became apparently too problematic, and they probably thought, exactly like Amazon, hey, we're losing a lot more money doing stuff we don't need to do. And so they changed it. So now I have a Roku channel, and I have the ability to add commercials, but I can't add commercials through the Roku network because, get this, the only way I would actually qualify to be part of the Roku ad network is to have 5,000 channel installs and have 50,000 hours of streaming in a single month. Best month I ever had on Amazon. Didn't even come close to 50,000 hours. I mean, if it did, I wouldn't be talking so often about how little I'm getting paid. But that means that I am left with basically the choice that I have to create my own ad server. Well, that's all well and good. However, creating an ad server does nothing without ads. I've approached several online ad distributors, I guess is a word for it, providers, that will fill the ad space and then dole out money for running the ads and getting eyes on them. And 90% of them are like, well, you have to have 50,000 streaming hours a month for us to even care. So they're basically in the same league with the Roku network, which I get it because they have to sell these things to advertisers. And if advertisers are like, we're, you know, paying for ads on channels that no one's watching, what's the benefit to the company paying for the ad, right? So when you have some of these ad providers that are more big league, they want to only work with big name Roku channels, you know, like the Roku channel or Plex or Pluto.tv or whatever, you know, one of the bigger ones. I get it. I really do. But some of the smaller ones won't necessarily do it. I found one ad company that said, we can start selling your channel to advertisers once you get 100 ratings. So that means I need 100 different Roku users to go to my channel and give it a decent rating. So that's where I need your help. If you have a Roku device, find Drive-In Monsters and install it, and then rate the channel. Give it 5 stars if you would. Give it 4. Don't give it 1. If you're going to rate it that low, please just don't. What's the point? You're not helping me, you're not helping you, and I mean, maybe I'll get you some sort of weird, perverse thrill to give me a 1 star. But I still think your rating helps because that's at least someone watching it, someone who rated it. So I guess not giving me a rating would be more damage than giving me a 1 star or 0.5 star or whatever it is. Anyway, install the channel, give it a rating. Tell everyone you know to do the same thing. We need to reach 100 people rating the channel before advertisers will then take a look at it and be like, sure, I'd love to sell my stuff there. And that's when it starts sort of paying for itself. So in essence, you're getting in on the ground floor and you get this Roku channel of free Mimoverse movies with no commercials. And I know it's kind of backwards to ask you to help me add commercials to your Roku channel. But if you really want to watch my movies without commercials and you have Amazon Prime, watch them on Amazon Prime. Because I get a penny or two an hour. On this one, they're free. It's a weird place to ask you to do this. Ideally, what I really like to do is get to the point where we get those 100 plus ratings and installs of the channel and we start selling ads, and suddenly that's a little more revenue coming in every month. Here's the dilemma that I'm running up against. It's getting increasingly difficult to sustain the making of movies. And I know I said I'm going to be positive, and I am still positive because I know we can do this. But the reality is, as physical media sales fall, and they have fallen, it gets harder and harder to make that up anywhere else. Because if you take all the streaming hours I get on Amazon Prime, and I sold the equivalent of that in DVD sales, I'd be just fine, and I'd be making some really big budget movies. But that's not how it works. If you bought a DVD from me for $10, the amount of money that goes into the Saint Euphoria coffers from that sale is the equivalent of you watching one of my films 700 times on Amazon. So that is why the loss of physical media is hitting so many creators so hard. Streaming is pennies on the dollar, for real. Like I said, you would have to watch The Monster Family like over 700 times to equal roughly what Saint Euphoria Pictures gets when you buy a single DVD. So if that's not a little depressing, I don't know what is. But still, I think the best way to make this work is to diversify. And that's what I'm trying to do. We got Amazon Prime, we got the DVDs, we got the Blu-rays, we got Vimeo now, and now I'm adding a Roku channel. And I just need your help to make it reality. And the thing is if after enough time, it's really not pulling its weight, it will have to go and become a subscription channel, which is a path I genuinely don't want to have to go down. Because I'd like to keep it open and free for new folks to discover, and this is a great avenue to do it. And I'll tell you, if you don't have a Roku device, they're worth getting. They're not expensive, and there's a lot of great content out there that you're just missing out on by not having one. Plus, if you're one of those people that's thinking it's time to cut the cord on cable, this is a great way to get access to a lot of the same content you're getting now. So I highly recommend it. Pick one up if you don't have one, and if you do, either way, install the Drive-In Monsters channel and give us a rating. And hopefully we get enough and then we can get some ad revenue in here. I don't know how long I'm going to give it before I give up on trying to make this particular idea work. So jump on this now. Even if you just install it and never watch it, but give it a rating, that helps. So please do. All right. In other cool news, Rich Chamberlain's back, so we have a Kansas City Crypt this month, so that's exciting. I got a new poem for you that'll be coming at you. It's going to blow your freaking mind. But before all that, I want to remind you that the world premiere of the next Mimoverse film is coming in April. April 29th at the Heights Theater in Columbia Heights, Minnesota. If you've never been to one of the premieres, I cannot explain to you how it is not just seeing a movie. I always say this, it's not just seeing a movie. It's something so much bigger and so much more fun. And this time, because it is number 15, I'm adding other fun stuff around it. And this is the first time I'm talking about this publicly. Saturday, April 25th, I am in the process of trying to put together a little 15-year anniversary celebration of the Mimiverse that is, to a certain extent, the first ever Mimicon, which sounds really dumb because it sounds like I think so highly of myself that there must be a full-on, full-day convention just for me. But really, we just want to throw a party. So it's kind of like a convention, but whatever. The point is, I want to throw this event, and if I do it at the same spot where we did the 10th anniversary of Terror from Beneath the Earth last year, they let us have the room for the entire day. So if I have a nice little meeting room for an entire day, I feel like why not get our money's worth? I want to do an all-day thing. And I figured early in the day, we'll just show movies that are pertinent to the forthcoming premiere. We'll show Giant Spider. We'll show Danny Johnson Saves the World. We'll show Terror from Beneath the Earth. Things that actually work into the plot a little bit. So you can sit down and just come and go as you please and watch some movies and eat popcorn and drink some sodas. Or pop, depending on where you're from. I always laugh because up here we call it pop. And that's when your accent comes out, you know? Oh, it's a pop. Wisconsin, most parts of the country called soda. Some places called soda pop. In the South,
inexplicably everything's a Coke, which I find weird because Coke is also a flavor. It always threw me off when, say, I'm in Dallas and I'm at a restaurant. They say, what kind of Coke would you like? And I'm thinking to myself, I don't want a Coke. I want a Dr. Pepper. But to them, it's totally normal to say, what kind of Coke would you like? Dr. Pepper. To my delicate northern ears, that sounds weird and feels even stranger coming out. Because, like I said, Coke is a flavor. Anyway, regionalisms, they're fun. You know, come on down, watch a few movies, eat some popcorn, have some chips, drink some Paps, and then we'll have a little dinner. Probably bring in some pizzas or burgers or something. We'll bring some stuff in. And then we'll do some trivia. We'll do some games. We'll have some fun. And then we'll close out the night with a little sock hop. Throw in some cheesy old music and have a little fun. And maybe we'll do a costume contest. Maybe, I mean, there's lots of fun stuff we could do. And I just want to celebrate the fact that this is Movie 15. And there are a lot of great people out there who we hang out with. And we'd love to hang out with you. Now, I know it's a lot to ask if you're coming in from out of town to come up for a party on Saturday and then stick around till the following Wednesday. So I won't hold it against anybody that is only coming for the premiere. But if you're close enough to drive up for that, it's on a Saturday. So if you'd come up Saturday morning and spend the night or come up Friday and leave on Saturday, it's up to you. The point is it's really kind of a cast party that's going to be open to the public, where we're just going to have fun and celebrate. And I might even show some, I have an idea. I have the old audition tapes from the monster Phantom Lake that I think would be fun to show some of that stuff. I want to make a day of it and have some recognizable faces from the Mimiverse show up. Maybe I can get Dan Shervin there. Maybe I can get Doug Sidney there. So if you're one of those people that wants just some autographs, this might be your chance to hang out with some of those folks and get some autographs. The point is we'll just hang out and have a good time, and we'll play musical chairs. We'll play Extreme Hot Potato. It's very fun, and it'd be one of those things like musical chairs that we always do at these events that we could do that anyone can participate in, and it's very, very fun. So that's the idea, is to do this little party. If it is going to happen, I will be selling tickets, and that money will just go to offset the cost of the room and the food. Tickets for that will probably be on sale by the next time I talk to you on the audiocast. So stay tuned for that. All right, I have talked enough, and there's obviously a lot going on, and it's that time of year where it's rolling toward the end of winter, almost, sort of. At least we're moving in the right direction. And the premiere's coming up in a couple months, and you should go, of which tickets are now on sale. And I will tell you, because of the number of people that did buy tickets in advance when contributing, added on top of the somewhat larger cast of this movie, we're already half sold out, and tickets literally went on sale today when I'm recording this. So there aren't that many seats in the Heights anymore because they changed all the seats. There's only 239, and we're already, so about 240, we're already at over 120. So if you're going to go and you want to go, get tickets now if you don't have them.
All right. I think that's enough of me jabbering on. It's now time for this month's edition of the Kansas City Crypt with Rich Chamberlain. Take it away, Mr. Chamberlain.
Hey everyone, this is Richard the Monster Movie Kid, and it's time now for another edition of the Kansas City Crypt. Now for starters, this is my first edition in 2020, so I want to wish everyone a belated Happy New Year. I apologize for not being here last time. Now, quite frankly, I was sick over the holidays amidst all the other holiday rush, so I just couldn't get the latest edition out. But that's kind of good, because I'm starting off on a high note with a film that hasn't gotten a lot of love over the years, Werewolf in a Girl's Dormitory. Now, this movie was released in 1961 under its title Lycanthropus. It's a Italian horror film, but in 1963, it got the Werewolf in a Girl's Dormitory title, and well, the dubbed version is what we've had to see for decades now. The print has never been 100%, and the movie, the U.S. version, starts off with a really bad 50s rock song called The Ghoul in School, and these really cheap-looking opening credits, typical for films back in the day. You know, a lot of the Mexican horror films got the same treatment. Something about seeing a movie in its original language and in its original cut, for me at least, it makes the movie so much better. Now, I happened to get this movie on Blu-ray for Christmas. It recently came out from Severin Films, the original uncut version. And, well, when my friend Bill Mize over at his Bill Watches Movies podcast gave everyone a heads up that this movie was going to be in his next episode, I thought, hey, you know what? It's a perfect time to play along at home. And once I saw it, I knew it was perfect for the Kansas City Crypt. Now, this movie has not gotten a lot of love over the years, and admittedly, as I said, sometimes watching a dubbed film, it loses something along the way. But watching in its original language, uncut, as it were, I don't know, it really enhances the overall pleasure of watching the film. And Severin Films has put out a really good print. The film's never looked better. I don't know how much extra footage is actually included in it. I will say that the opening credits are the original opening credits, so no Ghoul in School song is going to be heard at all in this film. And that in itself, I think, is a big plus. Now, don't get me wrong, I love cheesy 50s rock music, but it just didn't fit with the rest of the vibe of the film. This is essentially a werewolf film, if you couldn't tell by the title, but it is a little different. It takes place at a girls' school, and there is a murdering werewolf-like creature on campus that's kind of attacking the girls. But there's a lot more to it than that. Now, my good friends, Jeff Owens and Steve Sullivan, well, they were talking about the movie, and they didn't really care very much for the makeup work. They really didn't feel like the werewolf looked enough like a werewolf. I didn't have a problem with it at all, because it's not a traditional werewolf. I'm not going to give any spoilers away, but there's some explanations as to why this wolf-like creature is a little different. And for me, I think the, well, admittedly cheaper special effects actually kind of pay off. I'm not sure if we would have gone full-blown werewolf if I would have been, I don't know, I don't think I would have enjoyed it more than I already did. Look, I get it. It's not a fantastic film, and at an hour and 23 minutes, it's probably 10, maybe even 15 minutes longer than it needs to be. That said, I think this is an underrated film. If you get a chance to see it, I think you should, because there's a lot going on for it. I think you've got a good cast. You've got kind of an original setting, you know, to have a werewolf in a girls' school, but it's not really a girls' school. This is kind of like a almost like a reform school of sorts. All these girls, well, they're there because they've been convicted by the courts, so they can't necessarily come and go as they please, which of course leads to a couple of girls sneaking out in the middle of the night. And there is, there's someone who lives off campus who's kind of preying on the young girls, and there's a lot of cool scenery going on in this. I think visually it's a really well-made film. And I kind of had it figured out to an extent rather early on, but then I wasn't entirely sure. There was some red herrings along the way, and one of the red herrings is actually one of the best cast members, Luciano Pigozzi. Here he's billed under the American name Alan Collins. He plays the character of Walter Jeffrey. I guess you can kind of consider him like a groundskeeper. Now, he's got a lot of films to his credit, and as I was looking through, he's got some pretty interesting films going back to the 1960s, around the same time period as Lycanthropus. He also did The Whip and the Body, Blood and Black Lace, The Castle of the Living Dead, Terror Creatures from the Grave. He was the henchman with an eye patch in From the Orient with Fury. So a lot of cool films from around this time period. So if you are a lover of Italian film, chances are you've probably seen him before. And it seems like he's used the name Alan Collins more than once. Now, the movie was written by Julian Barry. And if that name doesn't ring a bell with you, maybe the name Ernesto Gastaldi does. This guy has got a long list of credits, 123 officially, and some really good films. In fact, he came right out of the gate. 1960, The Vampire and the Ballerina, a film that I really enjoy. Other films from around the same time period, there was the horrible Dr. Hitchcock. There was Perseus Against the Monsters, Horror Castle, The Whip and the Body, Hercules and the Masked Rider, Crypt of the Vampire, The Monster of the Opera, The Long Hair of Death, and the list goes on and on and on. A name that I know I've heard of before, and I know I've seen some of his other films. I didn't realize that he was one of the writer of this film. And so there was actually a kind of a cool extra. In fact, really the only real extra on this Blu-ray was about a 10-minute interview with him talking about what he had done before and some of the things going on and why he used the name Julian Barry. He was a writer of science fiction novels as well. And of course, he was told, nobody wants to know who Ernesto Gastaldi is, but we needed a good American name. Not something that would happen in today's day and age. In fact, if somebody used the name Julian Barry, they would be hiding their Italian heritage and, well, you know, a different mindset. Nonetheless, seek out Ernesto Gastaldi and some of his other films that he's done. You won't be disappointed. And now I've seen him, and I'm certainly not. Again, Werewolf in a Girl's Dormitory or Lycanthropus is well worth checking out. The Blu-ray you can get, I think, for less than $20. Not a lot in the way of extras. And you do get a little bit of that Ghoul in School song as an extra. The alternate opening sequence is what they threw on there. Certainly worth checking out if you so desire. This is a movie that gets, as I said, doesn't get a lot of love, and I think it deserves more love than it got. And again, I like the werewolf makeup in here because he's not a traditional werewolf. I don't want to give away the secrets, but as the movie plays out, you'll understand why I think they actually work for this film. Again, recommended. Check it out. I don't think you'll be disappointed. Until next time, this is Richard, the Monster Movie Kid, closing this edition of the Kansas City Crypt.
Thank you, Mr. Chamberlain. Okay, it's now time for that part of the show where I blow your mind with words that you never knew could be put together in such artistically beautiful ways. It's time for my poetry. And I ask, if you are not sitting, to do so. And if you are sitting, lay down. If you're driving, pull over. Because I got something this month that you probably won't recover from. Maybe I shouldn't even read it because I'm worried about what might happen. I mean, I want you to come to all these things, right? I want you to help with the Roku channel. I want you to come to the premiere. I want you to contribute to the movies. But I also have this art inside me that consumes me in a way that I must get out. And despite the consequences to you, the listener, who has to experience this, I have to do it. Because if I don't, I don't know which way history is going to go. You know what I mean? It's like, if I don't say these words out loud in the order in which I wrote them, you know, bad things may happen. For real. It's just that good. And you know this. You've listened to some of my poetry. And I'm sure some of it has been so amazing drink that your ears bled, that you may have even lost your hearing for a little while. Like you just, you know, that feeling of seeing a band that's really, really loud and you forgot to wear earplugs and you walk outside and you're like, I can't hear anymore. You can, but you can't. That's kind of what happens sometimes when you hear how good my poetry can be. So I'm just going to tell you right now, beware, this is probably one of the best things I've ever written. So, you've been warned. Here it goes. It is called Midlife Crybaby, and it goes something like this. Midnight satellite, ride a bike, take a hike, tell me something good tonight. Royal blue, sniff my shoe, stuck in glue, give me something else to do.
Hocus pocus, lost my focus. Things that choke us. Yes, I'm always broke. Us. Hanging shingle, time to mingle. Almond kringle, I'm a-feeling all a-tingle. Jangle jingle, sweaty single, pizza pringle, 'cause America likes the way we swingle. Yep, that just happened. So, like I always say, be good. But if you can't do that, be good at it. Thanks for listening this month. Contribute to everything we got going, the Mimoverse Holiday Special, That Which Lurks in the Dark. Get tickets to the world premiere of The Phantom Like Kids and The Beast Walks Among Us, April 29th at the Heights Theater. Go to SaintEuphoria.com and do all these things. Go to the Roku channel, download it, put it on your device, and then give it a star rating. Maybe watch some of the blooper reels. It's up to you. So, that's it. Come back next month when I'll ramble on about something else and then blow your mind again. If there's any gray matter left after that spectacular poem, which I don't even know I'm talking right now. I'm sure you can't even hear because you have that feeling of coming out of a concert after hearing my poem. Also, 20 points to whomever can figure out what I was referencing in that poem, because there's a reference in there. And I don't even want to tell you to what. Just try to figure it out. 20 points to whoever gets it. And before I go, Dr. Bob Tesla of Midnight Monster Movies with Dr. Bob has a joke to tell. So, it was great talking to you this month. I'll talk to you again next month. Oh, Dr. Bob.
It is I, Dr. Bob Tesla, with your Mimiverse Joke of the Month. When you go through the health and beauty aisle of your grocery store, you see these themed shampoo and conditioner body washes. They have them are in complimenting scents, or they'll have them with the heads of different TV show or cartoon characters like Scooby-Doo, things like that. Well, I'm really interested in this Batman-themed one. There was Dick Grayson Body Wash, Batman Shampoo, and Conditioner Gordon. Come out to the Dwight Frye Underground Cinema on March 14th when we begin our final season of Midnight Monster Movies with Dr. Bob with a mystery Vincent Price movie. What one will it be? Could it be Edward Scissorhands? Could it be Thriller? You never know until you show up. Make sure you follow us on Facebook for more information as it becomes available. Until next month, science!